Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, for again, what a beautiful day that you've given us, and Lord, just for this time that we have to come and study your word. And Father, I just pray that you would help me to give this lesson and to be clear in presenting the truth of your word this morning. I ask and pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3 this morning, and we'll start in verse 13, so I'll give you a chance to turn over there. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 13, and we'll go, I think, till the end of the chapter. Okay. So 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13, kind of picking up where we left off last week. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also we went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. By the way, that's a verse I like to use sometimes when I'm witnessing to somebody, because, you know, God does not compromise with sin, okay? He flooded the whole world and only saved eight people out of it. So, you know, there's a lot of false teaching out there that, you know, there's many ways to get to heaven, okay? Or I can get there if I'm just a good person, okay? Well, you know, this verse, that one verse really illustrates that, you know, God does not compromise with sin. The world compromises with it, and a lot of churches, unfortunately, compromise with it. But God's standard is perfection, and he never alters that. Verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. That's because he is all powerful. So when you stand before God, he's not going to be looking for decorations, diplomas, degrees. He'll be looking for scars, okay? One of the most exciting times, by the way, during the Olympics is the medal ceremony. It's the, you know, I'm not really a sports fanatic, but I do, when the Olympics are on, I do kind of try to watch as much as I can, and I'm always excited about the medals ceremony. Especially if they're going to be playing the national anthem, okay? I mean, I get excited to see the American flag being raised up to the ceiling and the national anthem being played. And you know, you look at the face of the gold medal winner, and that really kind of says it all, you know? It's such an exhilarating moment, you know? In fact, I remember back in 2008, the Olympics in Beijing, and I happened to, you know, have it on the television one evening, and I was really kind of half asleep, honestly. Wasn't really paying attention too closely, until all of a sudden, you know, and they were in the men's 4x100, you know, swimming relay. And all of a sudden, I heard a member of the French team say, "We came here to smash the Americans." Well, I started to wake up when I heard that. I said, what? Who said that? And so I started to kind of put it together what was happening. You know, there was this rivalry between the two teams, the French team and the American team. And this is when Michael Phelps swam that relay, and he won by a split second. And you know, the cheering, the exhilaration of that moment. And I got to tell you, you know, I went from a very relaxed posture to jumping up and down, you know, because I was very excited. And I would say the look of shock and horror on the faces of the French team was also kind of worth it as well, I have to say. but anyway. You know, so my point is, while there's great joy and excitement, you know, a careful look at the gold medal winner or winners, you know, reveals that, you know, there was a lot of pain and stress that occurred long before the actual competition, okay? Because, why? Because they're training hard every week for years leading up to, you know, that moment. But, you know, I'm sure that every gold medal winner would say that it was worth it. You know, it's worth it. But it comes with the price of perseverance. Standing before God will be an exciting time, but it will also reveal the struggle against the world, the flesh, and the devil that has raged for years. You know, aren't you glad that the day will come when you will no longer have to struggle against the sinful flesh? You know, just the idea of being free from the presence of sin is so magnificent. I mean, sometimes you just really have to stop and think about that. But it's going to happen. And it will be worth it. It will be worth it. But that doesn't make it easier for right now. But it does give us some encouragement. You know the old song that goes like this: oftentimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away, all tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Now, I got to tell you, you know, I'm so excited. I get so excited thinking about that day that I was actually tempted to sing that song instead of just reciting the words here this morning. But you're suffering enough, so I'm not going to put you through that. But you know, that one line in the song, "One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase." I bet if you could ask Christina what it was like when she took that first glimpse of his face, what that was like. Can you just imagine? It's almost beyond imagination, really, when you think about it. And someday we'll get to ask her about that. We'll see her again. So, you know, the fiery trials that come. But let me just back up to it. I want to kind of mention this also. You know, the persecution sometimes that we suffer here. As I was putting this together, it kind of made me think a little bit about Walter, okay? And be praying for that young whippersnapper. You know, he was telling me a week or so ago that, you know, he's been bringing his Bible with him to work, and he reads it on his lunch break. And he's getting some persecution for doing that, okay? And they're, you know, they're telling him, oh, you know, you're really a goody two-shoes. And they're making these kinds of little digging remarks to him. And but Walter, to his credit, he's not letting it deter him. He's still bringing his Bible and reading it in front of, you know, whoever's there, you know, his coworkers and stuff like that. So, and by the way, he wanted to be here last Wednesday evening, but I couldn't be here, so that really kind of messed it up for him. So just pray for him. I'd like him to be here. But you know, Walter is experiencing something that a new Christian experiences for the first time in their lives, being persecuted because of your faith. He's never had to deal with that before. And yet, you know, I really admire, you know, that he's doing that. Galatians 6:17, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And then 2 Timothy 4:7-8, listen to this. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but also, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And boy, I'll tell you what, I can't wait. You know, that's why, you know, a little later this morning, I'll be giving a prophecy update. And I know a lot of the times, you know, what I'm talking about seems kind of dark and scary. But it's just a sign that we're getting closer to the day of his appearing. And so I actually, you know, I'm dismayed as an American when I see what's going on. But boy, I'll tell you what, I get excited, okay? Because I know that between now and the rapture, things are not going to be all rosy, okay? But as closer, more and more of his prophetic word is revealed to us. And it's a reason to be excited. You know, the fiery trials come, and when they do, we've got to remember something very important, that we're never alone, okay? So don't think that, you know, the struggles that you may be facing, that you're alone. You know, I've said before that, you know, I'm kind of a quiet person. It's not in my nature to share what I'm going through or whatever with, you know, with people, but what causes me to raise my hand on Wednesday night and share a prayer request, you know, it could be a health concern or whatever, is that I know that prayer is powerful because we're praying to a powerful God. And so I would be foolish not to share those prayer requests and to get other believers praying for me. And so that's, you know, that's why I do it. In fact, I remember a trial that I went through back in 2008. That was the beginning of the Great Recession, as they call it. So I got laid off. I was working for a civil engineering company and got laid off. And for a few years after that, I was underemployed. In fact, I remember reading about a man who was a scientist with a PhD, worked on a team where the head of the team got a Nobel Prize. And but the recession hit, their funding dried up, and as I was reading this, he was working for $10 an hour at a Toyota dealership. And so I told him, I said, look, you know, I'm competing against PhDs for $10 an hour jobs, you know. And I'll tell you what, you know, I tried to be like Job. Okay, and I got to admit, I fell short. Okay, Job really sets a great example, and I'm glad that God put that account in the Bible. But I do remember one day, somebody, a friend of mine at the church that I was going to, he said, Dave, you know, how are you holding up? How are things doing? And I said, well, you know, what we need right now is a full-scale nuclear war. And he says to me, he says, well, Dave, I know you're frustrated when you start bringing out the nukes. And so he said, you know, Dave, here's a passage in Psalms, and I want you to read this, and then next Sunday I'm going to come back and see how you're doing. Okay, and I said, you know, I'll do that, and I did. And it was encouraging to me. And that's, you know, this is why it's so important to come to church, because, you know, we can strengthen each other. And well, anyway, the next Sunday came, and he said, "Well, how are you doing? Did you read that passage of Scripture?" And I said, "Yes, I did." And I said, you know, I thanked him for sharing that with me. And I said, you know, I regret that I said that we should have a full-scale nuclear war. I just want you to know that I'm now willing to settle for a limited nuclear exchange. So, you know, but the point is that, you know, we can share our burdens with fellow believers who can then be praying for us. And definitely we can and should cast our burdens on the Lord. You know, in spite of my frustration, and I was unhappy with a majority of the electorate that year, you know, but in spite of, you know, these frustrations, you know, we can just put our faith and trust in God to get us through whatever it is that we're, you know, that we're going through. By the way, in spite of all of that, I always said that, you know what, I still know that God can change my circumstances for the better quickly and in ways that I can't even imagine. You know, and one day he did. That's exactly what he did. I remember driving and I got a phone call from an operations manager at Andrews International, which is a big security company. And he said, "Dave, I seen your resume, and we have a very important position that we need to fill. We need somebody to run our security operations for all of the Amazon.com warehouses in Phoenix. And I'd like you to come in for an interview as soon as you can. Like, if you can come right now, you know, if you're available." And I said, "Well, you know, I'm not really dressed for an interview." And he said, "That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Just come on in." So I did. So I went for a job interview. Now, after being very underemployed for 2 years, okay, I went in for a job interview wearing some dirty, grubby blue jeans, a t-shirt, and I hadn't shaved in 4 days, okay? And, you know, that is not how I would go to a job interview, especially one very important like that. And but we had a very good conversation, and he was convinced that I was the man for the job, and ultimately I got the job. And that's what I'm saying. You know, God just does things in ways that you can't imagine. I would never go to a job interview dressed and looking like that, okay? But as I said, you know, he can change your circumstances quickly and in ways that you'd never even imagine. And that's what he did, and I just praise him for that. In Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, we read this: "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and," excuse me, "and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." And then Psalm 3, verses 3 through 6. "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill," Selah. And boy, I did a lot of that, you know, during those times. And there's been other times in my life where I just really had to cry unto the Lord. "I laid me down and slept." And I'll just stop right there and just say, you know, when you're a Christian, you're going through hard times, you cast your burdens on the Lord, you can get a good night's sleep, okay? You don't have to be tossing and turning, okay? He gives you peace because you just trust that he's in control. "I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about." And then Psalm 20, verse 7. "Some trust in chariots and some in horses." And today, by the way, some trust in wealth and some trust in modern medicine. "But we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Okay? And that's the thing, is to just keep laser focused on the Lord when you're going through the hard times. Remember what happened with Peter when he stepped out of the boat? He was doing fine as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord. But what happened? You know, he looked around at the waves and how big they were and how stormy it was. And as soon as he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. And only when he turned back to Jesus and reached out, you know, he pulled him out of the angry waves. And so, you know, what I would say is just keep your focus on him. And by the way, if you feel like maybe God is putting you through some difficulties because he's trying to teach you something, then what I would say is this: the quicker you learn what he wants you to know, okay, the quicker you'll be out of the trouble, okay? You can have an expensive education if you wish, or, you know, you can do it and make it a lot easier for yourself. Back in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13, remember that phrase, and who is he that will harm you? Okay, there's nobody that can harm you when you have the Lord. When God is on our side, we just never have to fear. There's an illustration that kind of goes with this. A little boy seemed to be traveling alone aboard a ship years ago, and he busied himself with some books and some games and was happily content. As a storm approached, however, other passengers became fearful and apprehensive. The boy seemed unaffected by the splashing waves and the rocking of the boat. And finally, a lady grabbed the little boy's arm and said, "Son, aren't you afraid?" And the boy calmly looked up and said, "No, my daddy's the captain of the boat, and he will get me home safely." Isn't that interesting? He just had this trust. Okay? And so let me ask you, is the Lord the captain of your life? Is he the captain, and are you putting your faith and trust in him? I'm going to give you some scriptures to think about. Isaiah 41:10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." What a great promise that is for us. And that's a verse to look at and meditate on when you're going through some challenging times. In Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." You know, and I think that's interesting. You know, I love that because he is your heavenly Father. He knows you by name. Now, by the way, you know, if you're like me, you know, sometimes when your father calls you by name, that's not always a good thing. But he means this for your good. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Well, you can ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego about that. "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel." You know, Corrie ten Boom, who went through a lot of persecution, she said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." Okay? We don't always know what's going to happen. You know, and you've probably heard me say before, you know, faith, I think, is better than foreknowledge. Okay? If I had foreknowledge, I wouldn't need faith. But faith is what makes us stronger spiritually. And so I'm just going to keep on having faith in my Savior. Psalm 27, verses 1 through 5. "The Lord is my delight and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And that rock is the rock of ages. Okay, that is who we put our faith and trust in. You know, I'll leave you with this final thought and then we'll close. You don't have to be afraid of tomorrow because God is already there. Okay? We've got just a couple of minutes if there's any comments, questions, anything like that. Right. So, yeah, so Brother Mel makes a good point. You know, when these Olympians are up there and, you know, they've won the gold medal, and they're playing the national anthem, you know, their allegiance is all towards the country that they're representing. I remember seeing, I can't remember which Olympics it was, it could have been 2012 or whatever, but there was a Canadian athlete that won a skiing competition. And the announcer on the CBC, you know, he said, you know, if you're ever at the Olympics and you win the gold medal, this is how you sing the national anthem. And they showed her, and she was just, I mean, with all her heart, when they were playing O Canada, she was singing with all she had. And, you know, it was really a nice thing to see. This was a young lady who won this skiing, you know, championship, and then they go back to the studio, and the announcer, you know, had tears in his eyes. I mean, it was such a moving, you know, experience. And so I think you're right, you know, Brother Mel. I mean, you know, it's just as they are honoring their country, we need to honor our Lord. And so, yeah, that is a great point. Anybody else? You know, another great analogy. You know, these Olympians are getting gold medals, but we're going to have a crown, which we're not going to. Never does it say in the Bible that we're going to put the crown on our own heads, right? The Olympians, they wear their medal. But no, we're going to cast those crowns at the feet of Jesus. And so that's, you know, a good reason to earn crowns, because I just want to keep casting those crowns. So, yes, pile of crowns. Oh, wow. Yeah, no, that sounds great. I've never heard of it. Tony says there's a song called Pile of Crowns. Yeah, and that is a great concept that they're singing about, you know. And I want to cast many crowns at the feet of my Savior. And I know you all do too. So, but you know, the good thing is, he hasn't come back yet. He hasn't called you home yet, okay? And what does that mean? Well, that means we've got time to earn more crowns. So we need to get busy. So, all right, let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed from Sunday school. Heavenly Father, we love you, we adore you. And Father, we just thank you so much that you are there for us during difficult times. And Father, we know that when the difficult times come, it never takes you by surprise, Lord, that you allowed it to come into our lives for a reason. And Father, I just pray that as we emerge on the other side of these difficult times that do come, that we'll be stronger spiritually and more equipped to serve you and more faithful to you. I ask and pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.